The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 12 of the Cricket Picks podcast, in which I, Behram Kazi, you can find at Def Mango on Twitter, Estelle, who you can find at Estelle Vasudevan on Twitter, and of course, Jared Kimber, you can find absolutely everywhere at A. Jared Kimber. What we do in the show is that we pick any random cricket category and we draft our top five for that category, which today is going to be cheats in cricket. And it's quite a fascinating one because, it's going to ruffle some feathers. There are going to be some fan clubs that are going to come after us. And there are going to be some people who will say that, how could you forget that one cheat? But
my favorite thing about this is how you're going to actually gerrymander it to put more Pakistanis in on the one list that Pakistanis don't want you to put anyone else in.
This is that list that probably will be dominated by Pakistanis, unfortunately. And I've been doing this thing in previous episodes where I'll just watch the world burn by going with a very, very rogue Pakistani last pick. This podcast will be different.
You should actually try and put no Pakistanis in and see how you go. Just the complete opposite. Who's first, second, and third this week?
I'm first pick in this one. And I'm very happy that I'm first pick in this one. And for those of you who are watching this for the first time, we do a snake style draft. So first pick goes sixth and seventh. 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. That's how we oscillate. And I'm number one. And really happy to be number one. Haven't rigged it. This one actually happened by complete chance. And number one cheat for me in cricket is Salman Butt, former Pakistan Test captain. And someone who came from an educated background, who after winning at Headingley versus Australia, said that Pakistan is like that construction going on over there. It's a work in progress. And once they, are complete, they're going to be world beaters. This man even goes on to win the Oval Test in the next series in England and then gets his fast bowlers to bowl some no balls. And, the spot-fixing scandal originally hit cricket in the 90s and early 2000s. And after all of that precedent for Butt to go and spot-fix in that manner at Lords of all places, as Test captain, there is no higher honor in cricket than to lead your nation in Test cricket. He cheated the game. He served game time, jail time for it. Hopefully, we'll never get game time ever again. It was the biggest heartbreak I've ever faced in cricket. And the worst part is that it hasn't come on the field. It's come off of it. And I think that, people will say that, he's paid his dues and spent time in jail. Forgive him. I can never forgive Salman Butt. And that's why he's number one.
He's never really truly apologized for it.
So, never apologized for it. Even Salim Malik also apologized 20 years later. Butt never did.
So just on Butt, it's, I think I've talked about this story before, but I'm not sure. But I'll try and keep it as vague as possible. But essentially, in the World Cup before that series, the one that was in the West Indies, it must have been the T20 World Cup. I think that's right. The ICC were aware that he had an extraordinary number of phones. And they spent so much time trying to work out, like, you know, how to do, and they just couldn't work out how to capture him. So it's very important to note that this is not like he was caught one time by a rogue newspaper. Like, he was a big part of it, as you said. And I think on this, you know, he got other people involved. Is it cheating, though?
I mean, it is cheating. How is it not cheating?
My thought of cheating is that you're cheating to win.
Mm. This is cheating to earn money. Well, I mean...
I'm not saying he shouldn't be on this list, and I'm not saying you've got him in the wrong spot. And obviously, you're going to pick five Pakistanis and then move back to Canada. But I found it very hard to work out, like, whether it's legitimate cheating or whether it's something else. Like, it's a crime against cricket. But I'm not having a go. I'm more than happy. This is a man who, in his own trial, said cricket's not that serious. It's just like wrestling. We're allowed to, you know, fake
basically.
It all. Yeah, yeah, go fuck yourself. And you're
and
number one
this
on the cheats
day,
list.
To this day, he is not, like, he hasn't really owned up and apologized. And I don't get that. I literally don't. And this guy has the audacity to come and, you know, he was a selector for a day. So yeah, fuck Salman Bhatt. I'll say that on camera. All right. Who's next?
Okay, I'm next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the only non-Pakistani pick. So Sandpaper Gate has to be in the top three, right? So I'm going to have to pick Bancroft because he was the one who was caught with the sandpaper. Yeah, just catastrophic events, right? I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that people haven't or don't tamper with the ball, but to do it in such a blatant fashion where you're bringing something from outside and, you know, doing it in that way, just incredibly sad. I think going for cricket as a whole, particularly for two teams in a series where two teams, you know, are generally really competitive and you see a lot of good cricket. I would like to see ball tampering legalized, but I mean,
would you like to see more players put sandpaper down their underwear, though?
What I was going to say is that, you know, not bringing things externally and using it to tamper with the ball. But yeah, so it was just an incredibly sad moment, I think, for cricket lovers on the whole.
I mean, I'm surprised you went with Bancroft, though, because Bancroft was technically following orders, right?
Mm. But I mean, he was the one caught doing it, right?
Mm.
Fair.
I mean, Bancroft kind of sits in for anyone. To be honest, all of Cricket Australia should be on trial for that. And it's still ridiculous that three players
absolutely.
Were suspended the way they were and other people were not. And other people
I like how the fast bowlers didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this magical ball always reversing when I use it? I wonder what's happening.
Did God stuff this up for us?
Yeah, not just, as I said, coaches, administrators. There's a lot of people. And I think one day someone will do the tell-all. And I think a lot of people are going to be embarrassed. And I'm looking forward to that because I think these three people, don't get me wrong, they fucked up and they deserve to be made fun of. And you shouldn't put sandpaper down your underwear. All these things are true, right? But a lot of people were involved in that. And it certainly wasn't Cam Bancroft wasn't the one who did that at the time. All right. So I got back-to-backs here, don't I?
Yes, you do.
It's funny because Estelle just said there's going to be a lot of Pakistanis, but my first choice, and I think you could make an argument that he should be the first choice overall, is W.G. Grace. Because he legitimately cheated, changed scores in school books, told the umpire that they couldn't give him out. You know, there's plenty of stories that he was fixing adjacent. I don't think he fixed any major cricket games, but certainly in some minor ones. There was certainly betting around in games that he was played on that was a little bit suspicious. But regardless of that, you know, you're here to see they're here to see me bat, not you, umpire, and willing to get the scoreboard changed, a scorebook changed, so he made more runs. Like, and he kidnapped a dude. Like, I mean, he's got to be if nothing else, maybe the most creative and the most what would you say? I'm trying to think, the most blatant. Like, he was just like basically like Donald Trump or Boris Johnson, right? You couldn't even hold him to the thing. He just, no, of course I did that, but now I'm going to go do this, right? Even the legal things he did, like running out, who was it, Sammy Jones, when Sammy Jones thought the ball was dead and everything, like just the proper next level cheat. One thing I always find really funny is, like, you know, in England, they go on and on about the piousness of the spirit of cricket and everything. And literally the guy that they've got the big statue of at Lord's and has his own gates at Lord's was the cheat. Right? Like, that was his thing. He's known as being a cheat. But, you know, you can't run out Johnny Bairstow. Fuck off. Stump. Stump Johnny Bairstow, I should say.
Stump Johnny
Bairstow. So, yeah, I'm going to big man number one. Absolutely, without any doubt. I think I'm going to go Hansi Cronje number two. Any man who is willing to sell out his country for a leather jacket for his wife certainly deserves to be on this list. Corrupting younger players. We've already talked about Salman, but I think that's the worst thing, isn't it? Like, I'm not saying there are good match fixes or spot fixes, and, you know, but it's the corrupting of the players that you're supposed to be looking out for. Especially with South Africa, there was so much goodwill around South Africa as a, you know, as a new team, and we were all happy to have them back, and, you know, there was so much going on, and Hansi Cronje kind of did shit on it all. Look back at some of the test matches where he forced the result and everything. It's just grimy and it's not great. And, you know, look, this is me as a heretic saying this, but, like, don't tell me the devil made you do it. The devil's a fucking construct. Talk shit. You made the fucking decisions to do this, right? Own up to it. Own up to the fact that you as a man put money ahead of pride and doing the right thing, right? But everyone's done it. But own up to it. The devil made me do it. Fuck off.
Have you seen that Netflix documentary on Cronje and his fixing incident?
No, it's the Greatest Cheats or something it's called, isn't it? That's
Bad
Sports.
I've had
it. Oh, Bad Sports. Like, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've had it on my list. Is it good?
Yeah, I liked it. And there was this one dialogue which was repeated by a lot of people, in which they said that there was an unfortunate love of money over there, and that it was very apparent. People could see it, how much he loved money.
Yeah. You know? It's, I think I was a little bit like Estelle. The South African team was the enemy of that Australian team before Australia just got better and it didn't matter. But I always liked Hansi because I loved the way he captained. I liked the way he thought about batting. The fact he could bowl medium. Like, there's lots of things about him. So I felt like I was one of those people that were, you know, done over by him. He certainly has to be on this list.
Yeah, for sure. I was expecting him to be one of these names in the first round. So makes sense. All right, Estelle, we're back to you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, back to me. This one I actually found while I was looking for another one. So Rashid Latif claimed a catch.
Yes, he did.
Against Bangladesh, where the ball is on the floor and he picks it up and he appears. It was insane because, I mean, I was looking for the one with Ahmed Shahzad where he dives and he pretends to catch it in his elbow, which I cannot, like, I can understand that you may think there are some angles where it may look like it got stuck in your elbow. But Rashid Latif's one, the ball was on the floor and he just picked it up and he appeared. So that I thought was insane because everyone can see what you're doing, right?
I think if you look at wicketkeepers through the history of the sport, I think you'll find that there are so many wicketkeepers who claim, and I don't know what it is about wicketkeepers, but there are so many that are like this. So there's a famous story of there's a Victorian wicketkeeper called Slug Jordan who never played for Australia. And the reason he didn't play for Australia is because the other Australians thought he cheated with catches, right? And I think it was Ian Chappell. I could be wrong. It wasn't Ian Chappell. It was someone like Ian Chappell who refused to be in a side with Slug Jordan because he thought he was a cheat, right? And so I think Rashid Latif could almost play for the fact that wicketkeepers are devious bastards. And I'm not going to put this one on because you got Rashid Latif, and I will put this in the Rashid Latif. Does anyone remember when Brad Haddin hit the bales off with his hands and let New Zealander Neil Broome go off the field thinking he was bowled? And then afterwards, Brad Haddin said, "Oh, I didn't feel the stumps." What? What are we talking about here? Your hands went into the stumps before the ball. Anyway, so I've seen some absolutely rippers over the year. So I kind of think that all wicketkeepers are inherently dodgy.
Interesting. Yeah, I know Rashid Bhai personally, and I remember that distinctly as well. I don't think he played a test after that. I think that was it. You know, it was the end of his career. Don't think he came back after that.
It's a way to finish. Yeah. Hell of a way to finish.
Interesting pick over there.
I think he got a ban also, right?
Might have. Yeah. He did ultimately, of course, he had to own up to it. There was video footage of it. So it was a sad end to someone who actually was against spot, or not spot fixing, but match fixing.
That's the funny thing about him. He was one of the most honest players. And like in that way. But when it came to the catch, I said, just Wicketkeepers Union. Just claim everything.
The irony really isn't lost when it comes to Rashid Bhai over there. But I get two picks in a row now. And I'm going to go with a non-Pakistani fixer actually over here. And why he makes number two on my list is because he didn't learn. He did it twice. Marlon Samuels. 2008, gets booked for leaking information to an Indian bookie, I believe, about like game tactics or whatever, something of the sort. And cops a two-year ban, comes back, you know, wins the T20 World Cup twice, and just recently has been banned once again for 6 years for, you know, some sort of corruption in the T10 league in Abu Dhabi. So, you know, a lot of people have fixed games and spot fixed over the years, but to do it twice after being banned once, I think that takes a special kind of, I don't know. I don't have words for Samuels, because he's a hero for the West Indies in the T20 World Cups. And here he's completely tarnished his legacy and image. And yeah, in a T10 league, like, you were already getting paid for nothing, you know? So I don't get it. Now, 6 years is a long time. And now I think people had forgotten about the previous charge. No one really remembered the 2 years he was out for, from international cricket. I think people might remember this one.
If you need your pitch changed, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set for you to win. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? Give NordVPN the ball. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow, promote NordVPN to pinch hit. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a bowler protects the boundaries in the death overs with nordvpn.com/Kimber today.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Yeah, the first one was, he was quite young. I mean, not to speak on his side, but he was quite young at the time. And it was kind of before, like, I mean, if you're a hardcore West Indian fan or, you know, someone like me, you knew about it, but it wasn't a big story at the time. Whereas obviously, you know, now he's quite well known, although he's kind of done it at either end of his career. So, you know, the middle bit, he picked up the trophies and hopefully the middle bit, he wasn't doing this.
Yeah, hopefully. And all I can say is that old habits die hard. And it is unfortunate. But yeah, second pick is a comic or comedy pick. We've all mentioned a few fixers and there's been one ball tamperer. I'm going to go with the ball tamperer, but someone who did it very uniquely. And I'm going to go with Shahid Afridi biting the ball. And this is not the only instance of Afridi cheating, by the way. He scuffed up the pitch versus England in a test and KP caught him. So he's done this twice where he will, you know, want to win games by all means necessary. And the ball biting was just hilarious because, okay, maybe the pitch scuffing where he did a little roly-roly on the surface. Also, Pakistan was supposed to bat still in that game. So I don't understand why he did that. And the ball biting was just so, like, it was the front page of all the newspapers. And it's funny how he just laughs about it. He's like, yeah, I wanted to win the game. I wanted it to reverse. So it's funny how the nonchalance with respect to how Afridi views these incidents, that's why I believe he makes it to number three.
It's, I mean, just because of how dramatic it was, right? Like, I mean, the ball was in his mouth. It was so bizarre. It was a bit like, to just go back to the Australian one, I remember when that was happening, I was talking to an Australian cricketer at the time and we were both watching the game and suddenly he said, oh no, you don't have to do that. And because he was thinking there are much more subtle ways to tamper with the ball is what he was saying. And then you watch Afridi where it's almost like it's like a proper brain fade where you're thinking to yourself, I've got to do this thing. And he just forgot what he was doing. And so he did it in the most bizarre way possible, in the most Shahid Afridi way possible, right? Mm-hmm. Like
literally. Could not, that literally screamed Shahid Afridi. And again, Pakistan lost that game as well. That's the sad part. They were losing every single game on that tour. He bit the ball to get it to reverse and they lost that as well. So yeah, fitting, I suppose.
Yeah, that was going to be my next pick because of just how hilarious it was, right? I mean, you've had so many tampering with the ball, you know, scratching the seam or whatever. And then you have a guy who just chucks it in his mouth.
I think Graham Smith said that he's probably not liking the food in Australia. I think he made that comment.
Okay, I'm next, right? Number three. Yeah, so I will go with Mike Atherton's, again, ball tampering. Was it dust? Sawdust? Something he had in his pocket, right?
Yeah,
in the pocket, yep.
I picked it because, you know, you think Mike Atherton, like, someone who's 20 years old is thinking Mike Atherton is like, he's one of the cricket gurus or like people in broadcasting who you look up to, right? And think, you know, this guy, his opinions on a lot of things are so right. But, you know, there were darker days for him as well. I think he's called it his darkest day in cricket. And he had some dark days, right, in terms of performances.
He had some pretty ordinary days. It's funny, I saw him just after the Australian one. Yeah. And I said to him, I've never looked forward to a column by any cricket writer more than your column on ball tampering. Because the dude lived it, right? And, you know, we know that Sachin did it. I mean, let's be really honest here. We're calling some of these people cheats. I don't think there's a professional cricketer who has not tampered with the ball, right? Unless they have bad hands and they're not allowed to touch it, or they're too sweaty or something, you know. And it goes all the way back, even before reverse swing, people used to pick at the seam. It's always happened in cricket, and people always put, you know, oils and things on the ball to try and make it swing more conventionally and everything else. But, you know, as you said, Athers is probably, he's almost like the last English statesman, right? Like like Strauss, I suppose, is there a little bit, but he doesn't speak the way that Athens does. He doesn't have that kind of gravitas or anything. Like Athens is that last of that, you know, Jardine, really like line of people. And out of all things, as you said, Estelle, that the sawdust. There's a t-shirt, and I've never bought it. And so I've got Bodyline t-shirts, but I can't remember if it's Bodyline or one of the other companies, but they do a Mike Atherton laundrette t-shirt. Which was based on the sawdust incident, and it's just, it's perfect. I absolutely love it. That happened. That's a good pick. It's on me. I got back to backs, right?
Yes, you got two in a row.
Okay, Shane Warne. I don't think this is talked about enough. The man got done for match fixing and for drugs. and we all as a cricket community just got to go, oh yeah, but that's Warney, right? Like, you know, he was just talking to a bookie. Got, you know, it's just a bloke. Him and Junior, that he's got confused, they talked to a bookie. That's right. And then years later, it's like, he's got a masking agent. Yeah, but he was a bit fat and he wanted to lose some weight. It's still a masking agent though, isn't it? Like, he got a 1-year suspension. One of the greatest cricketers of all time was suspended for drugs in the middle of his career.
He missed the World Cup also, right?
Yeah. And and was also done for giving information to bookies. I don't know. I almost feel he's got a much better reputation than perhaps other athletes who would have done the same thing. And the justification always seems to be, oh, it's just Warnie, mate. It's just Warnie. I'm like, yeah, but maybe just Warnie was also slightly dodgy. Like, that's okay. We can be honest about these things. You know, a hometown boy. But I just don't think it's mentioned enough, right? I just think it gets kind of, forgotten about, and I think definitely needs to be on my list. And I'm assuming neither of you had him.
I did, actually. I had his name, but he wasn't probably going to feature in mine because I have a lot of people ahead of him.
No, that's all right. I'm glad then. I knew I got the right team of crick picks here. now, I've gone him. Oh, I'm going to go another ball tampering, but I'm going to go the entire country of South Africa. Because over a period of time, I think it was four of them. It was certainly three of them were done for ball tampering on three on different things. And they were systematically tampering with the ball. And then also whoever got caught would then wouldn't tamper with the ball for a while because they would pass it to someone else to do it. So Faf got done twice. Vernon Philander got done. And I think there's someone else I'm forgetting along the lines as well. But I also know this because the umpires told me. The umpires were positive that this was happening. So much so that one umpire said, Jared, if you see me hold the ball up in the air for the cameras, it is my way of telling you that that they are tampering the ball. And he said, and South Africa are doing it a lot more than anyone else. Mm. In the end, like, it's hilarious that Faf du Plessis got fined the same amount for tampering with the ball as he did for wearing the wrong colour shoelaces in a test match. And then Australia suspended the three players for this massive amount of time. I go back to the SL thing. I'm not like, I know everyone tampers with the ball, but once you get to that sort of Australia sandpaper or New Zealand bottle top or Houston Astros trash can type level of cheating where there's a systematic system and everyone's involved in it. That's it. That's a conspiracy to commit ball tampering at that point, as far as I'm concerned. And good on them for getting away with it without really ruining their Faf doesn't have a ruined reputation for what he did. Right. Yeah. And they never got major suspension. So all credit goes to them. But I just think because it was so wide and done so brilliantly, I think they have to be on this list.
Yeah, I actually did have Faf because it's not just the mints, it's also the zip on the trouser. There were two instances, right? Specifically Faf tampering the ball. That's why he was
zip,
on my list.
Zip Duplessis. Well. I called him Zip Duplessis for years. Never caught on. I always thought it should have, but hey.
Yeah. Okay, Estelle, it's you now.
Yep. So I'm going with... So Jared mentioned an incident with Neil Broome. Similar one happened with Justin Langer against Sri Lanka.
That was my last pick, Estelle. I wanted to talk about this so much. Go do it.
Where he walks past the stumps. I think the ball's dead, right? And he walks past the stumps. He's crossing over the other side of the field. And he gently nudges a bale off and then gets into his fielding position. And they didn't appeal, but I think everyone was wondering how is a bale off, right?
No, they appealed.
They appealed, okay.
I think it was Shane Warne, and I can't remember who the wicketkeeper was, if it was Healy or Gilchrist.
Healy,
it was
probably,
in Pakistan, wasn't it?
Sri Lanka.
Was it Sri Lanka?
Mm,
yeah. I thought it was a Pakistan test, but yeah. It's incredible. Have you heard Langer explain it?
And I like how the whole post sandpaper gate, he became coach and all things good for Australia, and then this video of him surfaces, right? And everyone's asking questions. So kind of nice arc for him as well.
It's ridiculous. I could go into many details here, but he said that, I always did that and I didn't realize I knocked it off. You have a look at the video. It just looks like he knocks it off on purpose. Warne appeals. Right? Warne, the worst actor in the world. Have a look at Warne's face. This looks like it was a plan. And they were like, they were trying to sneak a wicket. I think it's some of the most blatant cheating I've ever seen. And it's interesting. If you Google biggest cheats in cricket, you get Trevor Chappell underarm. Trevor Chappell underarm was not cheating. They hadn't updated the laws, right? Mm-hmm. Like Kyron Pollard intentionally not taking two runs and David Hooks and all those guys who did that. Again, not cheating. They were playing within the laws. Justin Langer was actually cheating. And to go further with Justin Langer, I think before he became the captain, before he became the coach, I wrote the whole piece about how he was cheating in the salary cap with Perth Scorchers as well. Like, he was telling players. So because of the way that the Big Bash works, right, they had to make sure that the single city teams didn't have an advantage over the double city teams, right? So what they said was you can't use Shield cricket at contracts as a way of keeping players in the Big Bash, because otherwise Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide and Hobart would have all the best teams and Melbourne and Sydney would be split in two, right? Mm. And Langer definitely did that. I've got multiple players, agents, coaches, general managers, Cricket Australia people all off the record saying he does it every single time, right? And then he was made coach. And I was like, are you guys kidding me? You know what he's like. The same people who gave him the coaching job were the same people who told me he was untrustable when he was Perth Scorchers coach. What are we even talking about here? But yeah, the whole idea that he didn't know he's taking the bail off, it's just absolute bullshit. Just admit it. Just go, look, it was a flat pitch. Things weren't going our way. We got a bit frustrated. I did something stupid and I shouldn't do it again, right? We can respect people if they fuck up, if they're honest about it. Whereas it's like he's still denying it, like all these years later. We've seen your hand, dude. And what did you think they were appealing for? Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys need to share this video with me because I do not know about the story. And I'll send it to you.
Usman sent me a dinner obsessed by this because, you know, we remembered it when it happened. That's why I thought it was Pakistan, because me and Usman must have like 20 conversations about this incident in our life, right? And we've like Zapruder footage. Do you know what the Zapruder footage is? It's the footage of JFK getting shot. Like me and Usman are like that with the Justin Langer footage, right? We have seen it so many times from so many angles, right? Like to have a look at it. Like someone's uploaded a slightly better version of it onto YouTube. We're going to have to look at this now. I just find the whole thing really, really fascinating.
I mean, it is. And arguably it could have been higher on this list because that is some next level cheating. Okay. I think it's a double pick for you, Jared.
No, it's a double pick for you, mate.
It's a double pick for me. All right.
Yeah, you're banging out here.
I am. Okay, unfortunately, another Pakistani is going to come in over here. And that will be Mohammad Asif. One of the most talented bowlers I have ever seen in my life. And he could do things with the ball that, you know, I can do things in life. And he could do those things with the ball, right? So it's crazy how this is a person who... Not just the spot fixing, right? Let's forget about the spot fixing for a bit. This guy got done for Nandrolone, which is a performance-enhancing drug. This guy was banned from playing in the UAE because at the airport of Dubai or someplace, he got caught with like opioids. And
He did get caught with opioids.
Yeah. I know people who have played cricket with him in Islamabad, just club cricket and that sort of thing. And he would be high while playing these games, which is totally believable, right?
Like also completely within character of how he played his cricket. Yeah,
absolutely. The spot fixing is just another chapter of the many things that Mohammad Asif did. And it's just so tragic because he could have really been something, right? He could have been one of the best ever fast bowlers to come out of Pakistan. And he didn't even need pace, which is what most people associate with Pakistan fast bowlers. So yeah, I mean, tragic and, you know, deserved it. Had it coming, you'd have to say. And now he lives in the USA.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah.
Most skillful seam bowler I've ever seen. Absolute tragedy what he did to his career. Gave us the wobble ball. Probably popularized that thing of moving the ball in your fingers when you flick it up and all these, just so many incredible skills. But yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of marks against him, sadly. So he probably does have to be on this list.
100%. And yeah, I forgot about the wobble ball, right? He was pretty much a pioneer. And I remember this video of Imran Khan saying that he can swing it both ways with the same wrist position. I think that's what the understanding of the wobble ball was back in the day, right?
just but, a genius. As I said, just an absolute genius. But clearly he needs to be on this list.
Yeah, crazy fucking corrupt genius is what he was. For my last pick, there are a few options over here. And I'm really quite uncertain what way to go. Of course, there are a fair few Pakistan fixers that we can still discuss. There is Danish Kaneria, who did it in county cricket. Nasir Jamshed was the mastermind behind local fixing, and he got caught for it. And I think he also served some jail time. I'm going to go Lou Vincent. And it was bad because I feel like there was already an instance where people had caught him, you know, with a bookie or something. And that kind of got brushed under the rug. Only eventually it turned out that Lou was fixing big time in the county circuit. What I will say about Lou is that I respect him for coming clean eventually. And it took a certain amount of bravery the way he did it. And for that, I have some sympathy. But it was just crazy, the level of fixing that was going on. And he was so regular at it. And I mean, there are murmurs of Chris Cairns as well, right? Of course, that never got proved. But there are some questions.
So that was the legal case. That was the legal case, obviously, where there wasn't enough proof to say that Chris Cairns was involved. But but obviously, that was the public case, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And Lou was the highlight, I suppose, of that entire fixing scandal. And it's unfortunate because, New Zealand is a team which is kind of synonymous with spirit of cricket for some reason, at least with me it is. And for Lou to come out as a match fixer was rather disappointing. I expect it from the Pakistani guys at this point, but not from Lou Vincent.
No, I mean, I think he, again, makes sense to be on this list. It's heartbreaking because I do think he's genuinely sorry.
And, yeah, I do so as well.
And I think he was a very vulnerable person. I'm not saying that Chris Cairns corrupted him because obviously that wasn't proven in court or anything else, but clearly he was corrupted. Right. Like, it, you know, you go back and you hear his story. It's a little bit different, I think, than some of the other guys who maybe saw there was a chance and took it. But yeah, quite clearly, Lou Vincent has to be on this list.
All right, then. Okay. I'm done.
My last one. My last one. Before I go to my last one, I was wondering, does it count as cheating that the ICC managed to find India and Pakistan in the same groups of every tournament that is played? Or they meet at some point, right? Because they call it a draw, but it's never a draw.
That would be what... It's supposed to be an independent draw, and we all know it's not, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it is actually gerrymandering the leagues every single time. I would suggest it is a form of cheating, although I'm sure I'll get a message from the ICC later for this. But I do think it is cheating. But I'm not saying you have to put it on your list because it seems like you might have something else as well.
No, yeah. I'm going with Mohammad Azharuddin at number five for me. So I think that 90s era had a lot of fixers. What was, I think, sad was that, you know, he was a good player. And
he was never proven, captain, though, was he? He's one of the players that I don't think it was 100% proven with him. I mean, obviously, it ruined his career, so I'm not saying...
Yeah, he was banned, right?
Was he banned or did he...
Cronje said that he... Azharuddin was the one who introduced him to the bookies.
No. I'm not saying... I mean, we all call him a fixer. But but I was saying, like, technically, compared to some of the other guys on this list, I'm not sure if it wasn't overturned, his ban, or whatever. I can't remember the full details. But quite clearly... he was there. He was fixing adjacent, if not, and that's the reputation anyway, isn't it? And I remember doing a podcast with Harsha Bogle, and he was talking about how much Muhammad Azharuddin changed over the years, and how disappointing it was to see a friend go down that route and everything like that. So I didn't mean that he shouldn't be on the list. I just meant that his is a bit more complicated than say Asif or Lou Vincent or Marlon Samuels and some of the others.
The reason I kind of went with him is because, like you said, like he had a reputation of being a good guy. He was a good captain. India was kind of doing well. It was the Sachin era, right? And then to get a lifetime ban was kind of crazy.
Yeah. So
it was overturned at one point, but it was too late by then, I think.
Yeah, he was never going to come back, was he? I think he was gone there.
In the 90s, like, I could have gone for some other 90s fixer as well, because there were so many, but it seemed like everyone was kind of doing it, no?
Oh, I mean, that the other issue here, it's a bit like the ball tampering, isn't it, at a certain point? Like, we have all heard the stories about many more famous players. Wasam Akram is, mentioned in the report where, in the Kayyem report, where Judge Kayyem basically says, yeah, but I like Wasam Akram. So, it's all there, right? Like, there's plenty of players that have certainly been talked about with those sorts of things as well. Yeah. But I'm going to finish up with West Indies team of, I want to say, 1992, maybe 1993. I can't remember the exact year, but it was early 90s. Actually, it would have been earlier than that. It might have been 1991. I think the test match was in Antigua, if I remember correctly, but Dean Jones was bowled. And he was bowled by a delivery that happened to be a no ball. But he didn't hear it because the crowd went nuts. So he put his bat under his arm and started to walk off the field. And then Alan Border said to him, Dino, it's a no ball. Get back. And so Dean Jones started to run back and the West Indies ran up and ran him out. The umpires made a mistake. They didn't know the laws correctly and didn't realize that if you read the laws, it says if you're leaving because you believe that you've been dismissed and you haven't been dismissed, you can't be out. Right, it's one of the weird gray areas that we have when it comes to being out of your crease, where it's actually okay to be out of your crease. But the umpire didn't know, or neither of the umpires knew, and so Dean Jones was sent from the ground. Dean Jones goes to the bar that night to have a drink, and the West Indies players come up and go, they knew the law and allowed the decision to be made anyway. Not only that, they were the ones running up to take the bails off. Classic bit of shithousery. Proper like fun cheating, I think. Like, good anecdote for Dean Jones's book. But yeah, I always liked that story. I mean, I was a kid. Dean Jones was like one of my heroes. It was a huge thing for that to happen when it came to my life and everything. But I also like the story of, like, the West Indians are like, why should we be penalized for knowing the laws better than the umpire? Right? If the umpire is going to make a mistake, if they make a mistake on a court behind or anything else, we're not going to correct them. We're certainly not going to correct them on this particular one. But it's a bizarre. You'll find the clip online. It's a bizarre moment. The whole thing of, like, Dean Jones running back to try and not be run out after a minute earlier, having the bat under his arm on the way off the field. But yeah. That's my last pick. I like that one. It's a bit weird. And we've gone quite dark and deep at times with some of these. You know, this one. It's a fun cheating. And isn't that the best kind of cheating?
I suppose so. There are obviously a lot of honorary mentions over here. Srisanth, Ashraful. A long list of Pakistanis, including Nasir Jamshed, Danish Kanaria, Muhammad Amir, Salim Malik, Sharjeel Khan. I've probably missed a couple. All of them were there.
Some ball tampering as well. England in the 2005 Ashes is another famous kind of ball tampering. I think I mentioned it briefly before, the New Zealand bottle top with, was it Pringle?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Whose son now plays for... Is it his son that's playing for the Netherlands or something? I think as well. Maybe I've got it confused. There's a New Zealand seamer whose son is playing for Netherlands as well. So there's a few ball tampering ones. There's a ton of catches and also fake outs, like by wicketkeepers turning around, pretending they've missed a ball, waiting for the batter to move and taking the bails off. I'm trying to think of some of the others. So yeah, there's a lot. A lot of those sorts of things that have happened.
Quinton de Kock did that recently, didn't he?
You mentioned Shahid Afridi on the pitch, roughing up the pitch. We certainly had some roughing up the pitches once. I think Matthew Wade got suspended once for doing a dance on the pitch, like quite obviously trying to rough up the pitch. This one's a club cricket one, but it's one of my favorite stories ever from Australia because it's Dean Jones's dad, right? They were playing a club final over two. I think I can't remember if it was over Saturday, Sunday, or over two Saturdays. But there was a break in between, obviously, even though it was a club game. And they turned up when I think Dean Jones's team, his father's team was Carlton, if I remember correctly. And they turned up for the second day of the final, and someone had left a block of ice on a length on the pitch, right? So the whole pitch is dead bone dry, except for on one end, there's a wet patch for you to bowl at. And the legend of that story always was that it was Dean Jones's father who put the block of ice on there. So that's I like that. That's some really good. And I'm sure I couldn't remember any of the older ones, but if we had someone like Abhishek Mukherjee on, or you know, or Arun Sengupta, I'm sure they'd be able to come up with some great old cheating moments, because there are some classic ones. There's also like just little bits of weirdness. I think it was. I think Alan Knott was one of those players who used to use the bail to mark his guard, and the Indians took the bails away before he came up to face the ball. So, you know, like this. So there's a heaps of little tricks and stuff like that as well. And Jason Gillespie used to run into bowl waving his arms like a bird on days when he was on a really flat pitch, which I think is directly against the laws of cricket as well. So yeah, there's heaps of fun ones out there like that as well.
I'm glad that people who didn't walk after nicking it didn't make it, because that's technically not cheating.
Yeah,
no, that's good cricket. That's the way the game should be. I couldn't think of any in women's cricket, Estelle. I mean, Hyper Course will probably put 10 comments in, but I just can't think of any. I did rack my brains, but I couldn't think of any.
Yeah, I couldn't find any as well. I think it also comes down to the fact that there hasn't been that much of televised cricket, right, in the 90s and early 2000s. So
it could be that. There is that great – this isn't quite cheating, but this is another funny anecdote. There was a club game in Melbourne in the 1930s in women's cricket where it was so windy that they decided to put chewing gum on the bails to keep them on rather than taking the bails off. And what happened was, of course, I think they bowled a woman twice and the bails didn't come off because they had chewing gum on them, right? So not quite cheating, but the umpires just got completely confused of what to do that day and went with that. So that was one I always remembered as well. So there's some great old shifty stuff that went on in the 1800s, but I couldn't think of anything brilliant to put in this one. But it's a very fun. I'll go through the list.
Yeah,
let's do it. Bayram went first. He went Salman Butt, Mullen Samuel, Shahid Afridi, Muhammad Asif, Lou Vincent. So you've got four match fixes on your list. Estelle went Cameron Bancroft.
I have four match fixes. Yes, yeah. Afridi is the only non-match fixer.
Yep. Estelle went Cameron Bancroft, Rashid Latif, Mike Atherton, Justin Langer, Muhammad Azharuddin. So a more varied list. A little bit there. I've got WG Grace, Hansi Cronje, Shane Warne, South Africa's ball tampering, and West Indies Dean Jones run out. I don't know. I think because people hate fixing so much, Bayram might take this just because he's gone with that. But I do like Estelle's overall list because she's got a keeper, she's got a fielder, and she's got a fixer. She's got a broad covering, I think, of all the different kinds of shithousery that has gone on in our sport. Please, as always, vote on who you think is best. Put your own cheats in the list below. I'm sure there's some great random ones that we've forgotten about out there as well. I think cricket is made to cheat in. I think it's a fantastic cheat sport. And I wasn't looking forward to this at the start, but by the end, I was like, no, this is fun.
Yeah. As Jared said, mention your cheats in the comments below. We've definitely missed a few. So tell us those. And yeah, vote. We really want to know who wins these Quick Picks rounds. And maybe in the future, we'll have a poll or something of the sort. But anyway, that'll be it for this episode. Stay tuned for another episode of Quick Picks next week. That is all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work.
If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.